Matthew chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch, now this would be not Herod the Great, but maybe his son. He was, the Tetrarch, I believe, means like a division of four. So him and his brothers had divided up Herod the Great's land into four sections, and he was head over one of those sections. When he heard of the news of Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works show forth themselves in him." So this Herod thought that John the Baptist, whom he had killed, we'll see that in a minute, had been risen from the dead, had come back from the dead, and was going around performing miracles. And that's who Jesus really was John the Baptist risen from the dead. Of course, he's wrong. But for Herod had taken hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And when he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. So Herod had thrown John the Baptist in prison because John had pointed out that it was a sin for Herod to have taken his brother's wife. And he wanted to kill him, but he was afraid of the people because the people thought that John was a prophet, which in fact he was. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Now, I'm sure this wasn't a sweet, innocent little Mary Poppins dance. It was probably a very sexually provocative dance. Because of this, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she would ask. And being before instructed by her mother, she said, "Give me here John the Baptist's head on a platter." Oh, great. Way to go, King Herod, you and your stupid oath. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake and those who sat with him at the table, he commanded it to be given to her. Now, it's my understanding that once a king made a decree or an oath or what have you, even the king himself could not take it back. It had to be done. And that was the case, and that was it. That was this case here, that he had said it, he'd made an oath, and therefore he had to honor it. Let's see, where was I? And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the young woman, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. So John the Baptist ended up losing his life because he pointed out a sin in Herod. Herod had thrown him in prison, and then this nasty woman wanted John the Baptist's head on a plate. That is really disgusting. When Jesus heard of it, he departed from there by ship to a deserted place by himself. I'm sure he wanted to just be alone to grieve his friend John. And when the people had heard it, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the time is now late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves provisions." These people are hungry, and it's fixing to be nighttime. We probably need to send them back home so they can go feed themselves. But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to depart. You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. And they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. And those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So there may have been, 10,000 or 15,000 people there. And Jesus fed them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Of course, this was a miracle. And immediately Jesus compelled his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up by himself on a mountain to pray. And when the evening came, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So he had sent his apostles on across the Sea of Galilee in a boat. He says, you know, I'll meet up with you later, because he wanted to disperse the crowds and go up on a mountain and pray to his Father and be alone for a little while. I mean, any human being needs that. And in the fourth watch of the night, so that would be somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Of course, another miracle. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," or they thought it was a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to you on the water." Now, we'll see as we go through the New Testament. Peter's always the first one to speak up. he's just always the first one to just say whatever is on his mind. And he, Jesus, said, "Come." And when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." So Peter, at first, had faith. He got down off of the ship. He stepped onto the water. He was able to walk on the water miraculously. He started walking towards Jesus. But what did he do? He took his focus off of Jesus. He took his eyes off of Jesus for a second. Started to look around, and he got scared. And that's when he began to sink. And I think it's a good lesson for us today. So we need to keep our focus and our eyes on Christ at all times. Don't take our eyes off of Jesus. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. Again, another miracle. Then those who were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And of course, this is the reason Jesus performed miracles, to prove who he was and that what he was teaching and preaching was from God. And when they had crossed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that surrounding country and brought to him all who were diseased and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly whole. So Jesus is full blown in the middle of his 3.5 year ministry, teaching and preaching and performing miracles to prove who he was and that what he was teaching and preaching truly was from God. So he's really ramped up, and this is his mission. He's fulfilling his mission on the earth before his crucifixion. And that is Matthew 14.